Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 13 and ending in verse 21. This is our third and last message on this passage. It is commonly known as "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And of course, this is one of the passages in the scripture. This morning we will be dealing with remembering the fundamentals of the faith. So, starting in verse 13, "And he," that is Jesus, "left them." He left the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, excuse me. "And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, 'Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your hearts been hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not understand? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?' They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, 'How is it that ye do not understand?'" The religion of the Lord Jesus Christ is a religion that is revealed by God and approved by God. It's a very basic statement, of course, but it's very important that we always remember that. It is set apart from all man-made religions, all man-made philosophies, and all man-made governments, because government, philosophy, and religion are basically the same thing. They all work in concert to rule over men. That's why Jesus said, "Beware of the Pharisees, who are religionists, and the Sadducees, who were basically rationalists, if you will, and then beware of people like Herod, these politicians." At the very beginning of our Lord's earthly ministry, he went about the cities and towns of Galilee, and he preached. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the inaugural message, and it was the end of his ministry's message. It has never changed throughout the centuries that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It doesn't take you to any type of denomination or ceremony or anything like that at all. He points you to the law itself and demands and commands that you repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So his message was in direct opposition to all man-made religions. That one small statement put him at odds with the world. So because of this fact, this statement that he made, the religious rulers of his day did everything in their power to dissuade him from revealing himself to the people of Israel. In fact, they tried to dissuade him from revealing himself to the world. He went about doing good, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees continually charged him with doing evil. So right away, we see that the opposition was satanic. They had to lie and slander and try to murder him with their mouths. The young disciples at this point, we're talking 2.5 years following the Lord Jesus Christ now, were struggling to understand that they were in a fight against the prince and power of the air. They did not really understand the intense battle that was going on in their lives, much less the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't really understand that they personally were in a fight for their lives. They were in continual conflict with the world, and yet most of the time their behavior did not reveal that they understood this. Instead, we find them on this night very distressed over what? Where they're going to get their next meal. The scribes, or the Pharisees and the Herodians, that is the Sadducees, had just attacked the Lord Jesus Christ. Show us a sign. Prove to us you are who you say you are. And they get on a boat, they go to the other side of the lake, and they say, uh-oh, we're hungry, we don't have any food. That's how shallow, that's how unspiritual, if you will, these men were in their lives. And again, we've discussed the fact that we're not here to browbeat these young men, these young Christians, but we use them, in my opinion, or at least I'm going to try, to show us our lives. Because when we look at the lives of these young men, we need to find ourselves in their behavior. So by way of review, we'll go through verses 13 through 16 very quickly and then get on with our study. And having left them, in verse 13, literally, he again entered the boat to depart to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He left the Pharisees and the Sadducees after their failed attempt to entrap him. What happened? We learned that the disciples had quickly forgotten about this seemingly inconsequential meeting. This was a very intense meeting. Remember, Jesus was on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. He had fed the 4,000. He was there for several days. He immediately got into a boat, traveled all the way over to the western shore close to Capernaum, and these men were waiting for Jesus, and they attacked him. He only went there in order to be attacked. He allowed these men to do that. He traveled directly to that spot so these men could accost him. And when that was over, it didn't take very long at all, he got his men back on the boat, and he took them to the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. They should have understood how important and how significant the meeting was, but they were not able to do that. Verse 14, and they, that is the disciples, had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus was controlling their movements because they were being trained for their future ministries. They were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the 12. They were going to bring the New Testament to the world. They were also being trained to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for their daily needs. And that's the juxtaposition here. They had this ominous job, if you will, to be trained to be the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their writings were going to be written in stone for all of eternity. And yet they were also being trained to depend on Jesus for their daily bread. Doesn't make any sense. You would think they would be much more qualified for the job. But at this point in their lives, they really weren't. They, like us, were slow learners. They, like us, woke up every day and had to think about what to do. I have to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to think about these things. I need to feed off the Word of God as my daily bread, or I'm not going to make it through the day. They had to learn that, just like you and I have to learn that. The disciples at that moment in time had lost their ability to see all things through faith. They were carnally minded. They were hungry, or at least they knew they were going to be hungry soon, and they knew they didn't have any place to buy bread. So what did Jesus do? He tried to get their attention. And when you use words like tried or he attempted, what am I saying? Am I saying that Jesus was weak? No. We're using human terms to describe a historical moment. And so I'm not trying to lessen the authority or the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. He could have easily decreed that they understood, if you will. But that's not how real life works. He was trying to get their attention, if we can use human terms. He wanted them to focus on a certain thing, and they could not focus on what he wanted them to focus on. What was that? The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It was very bad. verse 15, and repeatedly charging them, that is his disciples, saying, watch out, think twice about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herod, and the leaven of Herod. He was very, very specific. He wanted them to focus on what had just happened, and they had no clue. They had no clue what was going on. Jesus had left the Pharisees and the Sadducees after that short confrontation, and he brought them to this lonely place for good reason. By the way, much is going to happen after this. He's going to go way up north into Caesarea Philippi. He's going to take his favorite three to the Mount of Transfiguration. Much is going to go on in the next 6 months of our Lord's earthly ministry. But he was telling them, there is great danger. And you're needed to understand that you are still embracing the tradition of the elders. You're still being enticed by them. You're still being wooed by them. And you're still intimidated by them. Beware of these men. Keep on watching. Keep on thinking about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Keep your mind on these things. You are men of God. You are my disciples. And this is where your mindset needs to be. You are in a battle. Their doctrine is bad, to put it mildly. Don't let your guard down, he was telling them. Watch out for these heresies of the Pharisees. Watch out for the humanism of the Sadducees. And watch out for just the plain evil of these politicians. Although different, these three work together. They were one unit. And you take those three things, religion, secularism, and politics, you put them together, and what do you have? You have a human government. And they were evil. And they always will be evil. But he was warning them that you don't want to take the gospel and put it on the level of politics, but you have to be aware of your surroundings. Their one common denominator of these three people, as they work together, was their confederate hatred of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the gospel of grace itself. This is the great conflict. It's always been the great conflict, and these men were not even aware of it. And they were being trained to be the apostles. Verse 16, and they began reasoning one to another, and they came to the conclusion, what? That they needed to think about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? No. They came to the conclusion after talking with one another that they didn't have enough bread. They were slow to learn, were they not? They thought Jesus had the same concerns as they. He listened to them talking about not having enough to eat. Again, think about it. They're constantly complaining about this kind of thing. So he used the term leaven to get their attention. His message was simple. Beware of the false or evil teachings of the Pharisees and the false or evil teachings of the Sadducees. Their teaching is full of leaven. What does that mean? Their traditions and their heresies will grow. It starts small, but infects whole populations. Kind of like the Catholic Church in Italy. Jesus was telling them that their focus was to be solely on the interest of the kingdom of God. And yet they weren't getting the message. Where is this? How do you focus solely on the interests of the kingdom of God? Can that even be done by you and by me and by them? Yes, absolutely. Well, where do you find that? You find it in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was to be their sole focus in life, the gospel, the word of God, giving themselves over to reading and studying and praying over these things so they could disseminate these truths to the world. All right, that's an introduction then. So we are about to see that Jesus changed the course of the conversation now. It's very sad, actually. The disciples were not thinking properly. They were not spiritually minded at this point. They were thinking carnally, to put it bluntly. That is, They were thinking about where their next meal was going to come from. Jesus was training them in the ministry, and all they could think of was food. Without bothering to ask God to provide for their needs. They were talking among themselves, they were worrying, they were fretting. Jesus was in their midst, the bread king, the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven, never even thought to ask him. They had sadly forgotten the fundamentals of the faith. And I will admit and add, just like us, they had forgotten the fundamentals of the faith. It's a daily struggle to remember the fundamentals of the faith. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Therefore, Jesus concluded that the conversation about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod was going to need to be put on hold. And that's what we have next. This teaching moment stopped. No longer was he going to focus on that serious subject. He's now going to focus on the basics. Back to the basics, back to the fundamentals, back to the day-to-day things that Christians have to do in order to make it through life as a child of God. So we're going to go through verses 17 through 21 in just a few minutes. Within just a few minutes. We're going to do it right now, of course. And I just want to explain that it is a teaching moment for these men. And it's all in the form of a very rare rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. His tone in this passage was one of disappointment. And you rarely see that from our Lord. Think about yourself when you disappoint God. And you know that you have to go to him in repentance, in prayer, in humility, and you're ashamed of yourself. And you have to repent. You have to acknowledge your sins. You have to tell him what you did. And you know that by the blood work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to forgive you. And yet it's humiliating. It's difficult. And you don't see very often our Lord chastising us. Usually he's very kind and gentle with us. But here we find an actual moment where we find Jesus Christ disappointed with his disciples. The disciples were not learning as they should. They had been with him about 2.5 years at this point, possibly 3 years, about 2.5. They had forgotten the fundamentals of the faith. Not every day, not all day, but at this moment in time, they had forgotten the fundamentals of Christianity. Therefore, they had to slow down and rethink everything. And Jesus was going to help them. So the passage before us is set up in a series of 9 questions by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were very probing questions, and they were very condemning questions. And have compassion on these men and think about yourself, because I have, as I've been studying this passage. B.H. Carroll said the rebuke focused on 4 majors. Number 1, their hardness of heart. Number 2, their dimness of perception. Number 3, their torpid memory, that is their laziness in memory. And number 4, their lack of faith. That's brutal, isn't it? And this is what Jesus was going to do now. This is how he's going to deal with them. So look at the first 3 questions. They're found in verse 17. And a literal translation of verse 17 goes something like this. And understanding, that is Jesus' understanding, said to them, "Why are you discussing that you do not have bread? Do you not yet understand, much less comprehend? Are your hearts hardened?" So look at the first question in this passage of Scripture. Why are you discussing that you do not have bread? It's out in the open now. He's dealing with them very openly, very frankly. Jesus asked them, in essence, how is it possible that you think my warning concerning the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod has anything to do with us having a lack of bread. How did you miss that I was speaking of the evils of the Pharisees and the evils of Herod's political party? The second question, and this is hard. Listen to the words. Do you not yet understand, much less comprehend? Third question, are your hearts hardened? He said this to the 12 disciples. Are your hearts hardened? I would hope that question just wounded their souls. How it must have put fear into them, hopefully, that the Lord Jesus Christ just asked them if their hearts were hardened. Are your mental and spiritual faculties so dull, so hardened, that you cannot understand, that you cannot comprehend these spiritual matters that I'm trying to explain to you? He literally asked them, you're telling me you cannot add two and two and come up with four? That's what he said. Are your hearts hardened? It's a perfect participle. It's very important that we understand that here. He's asking them if that is the present condition of their heart. Is the present condition of your heart right now as we are speaking hard? But because it's a present particle, he's explaining that he's saying this basically. Has it become hardened up to this point out of a long process of spiritual dullness? Have you turned your heart hard because you've been spiritually dull for a long time? Are you reading your Bibles? Are you praying? Are you fellowshipping? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking righteousness? He's asking them these questions. The second of three questions. The second three questions found in verse 18. Literally, having eyes, do you not see? And hearing ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? This passage is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 21. I'll read it. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. So here is the first of the next three questions found in verse 18. The fourth question, eyes having, do you not see? Eyes having, do ye not see? You did not see all the wonderful works that I did over the last 2.5 years? Are your spiritual eyes also unable to see it? I know that you saw it physically. Now are you telling me that you're spiritually blind to these things? You can't interpret them for what they were? Fifth question. And having ears, you did not hear? Have you not heard all of my preaching and teaching? You have no discernment about these things? This is a very strong rebuke. It's hard to even talk about them. I feel so sorry for these men at this point. I feel so ashamed. Sixth question. And do you not remember? Did you forget it all? All of the places we've been, all the people that we've spoken to and healed and helped, your personal ministries of healing and preaching, going out two by twos without any money, without two coats, blessed by God and all these things, you don't remember any of that? Now you're here talking about where we're going to get our next meal? So he put these three bodily functions, right? Hearing, seeing, and remembering into one function. He made them all heart issues. That's what he was trying to do. That's what he was doing. He said basically, where's your spiritual discernment in all of these things? All of these experiences, and you're still living outside the realm of faith, he's telling them. Are your hearts hardened? There's no other conclusion, is there? That's what he's saying. It must be, because this doesn't make any sense. Then he qualifies this very, very strong rebuke with the following words. He reminds them of the previous events of just the last few weeks. Look at the seventh question in verse 19. When the five loaves, that is the feeding of the 5,000, and where did that happen? Right where they are standing right now. The northern shore of the Sea of Galilee on the east side of the Jordan River. That's where the feeding of 5,000 were, and that's where those men were standing. Probably 3 weeks ago. Maybe 6 weeks. Whatever. Point is, it was not very long ago. When the five loaves I broke for the 5,000, how many baskets of broken pieces did you fill? Well, they remembered. They said to him, 12. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. They remembered this. Then how is it that they remembered that and grossly misinterpreted his charge? Take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. These are connected, and they didn't know it. How is it possible that you are reasoning among yourselves, that you're talking amongst one another right in front of me and thinking that I'm saying what I'm saying because we don't have any bread? They had just left the leaders of Israel who had murderous designs on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had perverted the law, and they had rejected the one whom Jehovah God had sent to them. And yet, these men, all they could think about was their next meal. Jesus is not finished. Look at verse 20. This is the eighth question he asked them. When the seven loaves I broke for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you fill up? How could they have forgotten? It's impossible, right? It happened just a few days ago. Jesus said, are you telling me that you saw me feed 5,000 men besides women and children? And then you saw me feed 4,000 men besides women and children. And you don't have the faith to believe that I'm going to provide for your next meal. Is that where we are in our walk with the Lord? That's what he's asking them. And the ninth question in verse 21. And he was saying to them, how is it that ye still do not yet understand? That's the end of the passage. That's where he leaves it. Thankfully, Matthew doesn't. Matthew softens the blow. It's really wonderful. Matthew 16:11 says this, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? You should have known, my children, but I wasn't speaking about tonight's food. I was talking about the evil influence that is going to grow out of control from these wicked rulers. So Jesus gave time, the disciples time, to digest everything that he said in Matthew. And Matthew gives us very good news. They got it. They understood it. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So that's the end of our passage. So how do we tie this in a bow, if you will? Or put it in a box and forget about it? Because it's really tough. But we're not going to forget about it. We're going to make a couple observations, hopefully, that will help us understand. And so I have one long observation. long, meaning just a couple minutes. Jesus was guiding the conversation about the real issues facing the 12. And what is that? Well, the evil leaven of the Pharisees and the evil leaven of the Sadducees, or you could say Herod's party. Either way, it's the same thing. This was supposed to be a very serious conversation about real life issues, the battle between the kingdom of God and the enemies of the cross. That's what Jesus wanted to deal with these men. Instead, this conversation turned into teaching about the very ABCs of our Christian walk, the fundamentals, if you will, the basics of how you and I live our Christian life every day. What is that? Well, it's trusting God for our daily bread, is it not? Isn't that the ABCs of our Christian walk? Our Father, which art in heaven. What are we doing? We're acknowledging his majesty. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking God to bring such a great awareness to the world about his existence and the Lord Jesus Christ that the world will desire to do his will just as it's being done in heaven itself. That's a big prayer. And then he goes small. Give us this day our daily bread. These are the basics of our Christianity. This is how we start out every day. Opening up the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Praying in faith. Determining to live a certain way throughout the day. Praying without ceasing. All these things we have to go through our minds on a daily basis. The basics of our faith, the fundamentals of our faith. He was teaching the disciples to live like that. He taught this to them at the Sermon on the Mount, did he not? Told them how to pray. He told them how to live. Told them about all the bad things that were going to happen to them. But don't worry. Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. They'd forgotten it all. It should have been a non-issue for them at this point in their lives. Just like it should be a non-issue for you and for me. But it's not. It's hard. We have to discipline our lives to live the Christian life. It's not magic. Each individual is responsible for his own soul. And each individual must make the Word of God his priority. Or he won't be able to pray. He won't be able to live. He won't be able to have faith. He won't be able to commune with God. I'm going to make a baseball analogy. Consider a professional baseball player. Obviously, they're all very talented. Their skills are given by God way better than the average human being. That's why they play professional baseball. We all understand that. But what does a baseball player do on a daily basis? Does he play baseball every day? Well, during the season, pretty much. But that's not my point. My point is they work on the fundamentals. Now, believe it or not, the best baseball players on the planet work really hard at the fundamentals of the game every single day. When I was a little boy, there was a big man by the name of Willie Mays. Called him the Say Hey Kid. He was a beautiful athlete. He made the game look effortless. And I have a point to all this. When I was a little boy, he made a catch. It was so iconic that it's called the catch. And it's been 60 years since he made the catch because it was so unbelievable that it still goes down in the annals of sports history as one of the greatest feats ever. And what he did was the batter hit the ball into center field, and it went over Mays' head. And so Mays just started running as fast as he could toward the fence, toward the end of the field. And he just stuck his glove out, and the ball went over his head and dropped right into his mitt. And it was absolutely unbelievable. It didn't sound like a big deal, but it was. So why am I telling you this? Why was he able to make the play? Why was Willie Mays able to do that? Because he was gifted by God? Well, yeah, of course. But the fact is that without Willie Mays getting up every day and shagging balls, right? Playing catch, shagging balls, doing this, going to batting practice, running sprints, being in the fundamentals of the game constantly, over and over and over and over and over again, he never would have been able to make the catch. He was constantly working on the fundamentals. You can't practice that particular catch, can you? Of course not. So he practiced on how to field a ground ball, or how to catch a fly ball, or how to hit a line drive, whatever. But doing all that prepared him for the actual catch itself. So he made that great catch, but I guarantee you the next day he got up and he started shagging balls and going to batting practice and doing his runs and his sprints. That's what made the catch so great. It didn't happen out of thin air. It was day after day after day after day doing the exact same thing. And that's what Christianity is. It's getting up every day and doing the exact same thing. And it's not very pleasant to think about it in that terms, but that's what Christianity is it not? Waking up, getting up early, reading your Bible, bowl of cereal, praying, having time alone, setting your mindset right so you can handle the day as a man or a woman of faith. And this is how a Christian must live. You must live like that every day. Every morning we must make it our priority to feed off the bread of life. So without the Word of God in our daily lives, how in the world are we going to make it? How are we going to make it through the day if we don't feed off the Word of God itself? How are we going to withstand the trials that come our way if we're not constantly feeding off the bread of life himself? Those young men failed, so Jesus brought them back to the fundamentals. And that's what we need to do, because we're going to constantly fail in our trials. And the only way to get up and keep doing these things is to wake up with the fundamentals on our mind. There was no doubt they were going to continue to fail. They failed that night, and they were going to continue to fail for quite a long time because they were human beings. The night of our Lord's arrest, what happened to the 11 disciples? They were afraid for their lives, and they all fled. They all forsook the Lord Jesus Christ and fled. And just hours before, Peter said, "I will never do this. I will never forsake you. I will die for you." And hours later, we find him cowering in fear and saying, "I do not know this man." But they all grew in grace, didn't they? Because by the time it was all over, do you realize every single one of those men was martyred, was put to death for their faith? Because they learned to live by faith. The only one that didn't die a martyr's death was John, of course. So they grew in grace, just like you and I are going to grow in grace. But you can't grow in grace unless you pick up your Bible and read it, and keep reading it, and keep reading it, and keep praying, and keep learning, and keep fellowshipping, and keep sitting under the Word of God. Apart from that, we're not going to make it. None of us are going to make it. I'll quit. I'll just quit there. But think about this. On the night of his betrayal, on the night of his arrest, he turned to his disciples, and what did he say? Well, he was praying, actually. He said, "I am the way, the truth, in the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said that to his 12 disciples in the upper room. He gave them a gospel message that was so simple to understand that you could not misinterpret it. And yet look at all the religions of the day. If we could focus on that and keep our religions simple, because that's what being a Baptist church is. It's sticking to the basics of Christianity and not getting caught up in all the worldly entrapments that people seem to love. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, in his death, burial, and resurrection. There is no other way to meet God. There is no other way to be conformed to God's image. There is no other way to stand before God apart from our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves, does our Christianity conform to this passage? Do we know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I am talking about? Do we understand the problems that the disciples have? You should, if you're a true Christian, because you're going to say, and I'm going to say, we have the exact same problems as they. But we don't stop there. Then we try and fix it, because these men did. These men matured. And that's what we have to do. We have to mature in the faith. And there's no easy way. There's no shortcuts. You got to get up every day and do the same thing, just like Willie Mays did. Do you know him? Are you resting in him? Do you believe in him? Have you fled to him in repentance and faith? Because apart from that, there is no other religion that will save you from your sin and your misery and death to follow. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or beware of the evil heresies of false religions. All right. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord's Day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy in giving us this very hard passage, this strong rebuke that is that must be applied to our lives and not used to criticize the disciples. We pray you would enable us to humble ourselves before you this day, worship you in truth and in spirit, and we're thankful, Lord, that you are such a kind God to us. May you bless the 11 o'clock service, and may you fill Pastor Downing with your spirit as he enters the pulpit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.